You are now listening to Ride With Me, the Flatarity Podcast.
Welcome to Ride With Me, episode 106. Today is January 20, 2024. And my guest today is my friend Tyrone.
How's it going? Thank you for having me here.
I'm sorry, bud, but I'm going to have to make some jokes, man. And Tyrone is not black. He is white.
You can call me, but I guess you won't be using my phone.
What do you call it? Dude, what was up with the name?
That's interesting. A little story was that my dad wanted a unique name because my initials essentially spell out TNT.
Okay.
You know, so they were thinking Thomas, Tyler, you know, but I'm Mexican. Not black or white,
Oh, I thought you were white, bro. I'm sorry.
No, I just call myself Coconut Man. I'm brown on the outside, white on the inside, kind of thing.
Same here, you man. Know? That's a trip.
But yeah, he just wanted the initials to be unique, TNT. So they ended up going with Tyrone because Tyrone Power.
Okay.
From the 40s, 50s movies and all that
stuff. Oh, okay, okay. Yeah. All right, well, I met Tyrone back in like around November of 2021. I was moved routes. Well, they kind of shifted us a little bit when we took over Miller Coors.
Yeah.
Once we started selling that portfolio, they're like, well, we're going to shift these guys around to make their routes kind of easier, whatever the case would be, or less stops.
They can say that all the time. It's never easier.
It's not. But well, actually, I can't complain now. And I came across you. You were my merchandiser at the Vons and the Rite Aid over there in the Hacienda area. So you're not doing that anymore, right?
No, I'm doing the reset merchandising. We're just fixing up the liquor stores and the grocery store chain sets.
So yesterday we were at a reset. How long did that one take? I was only there for 3 hours, but you guys were there from beginning to start.
Me and the other
beginning to end.
Yeah, beginning to end was 8 a.m. Basically, we got there, the store barely opened. We probably started at 8:30. And we're there till about what, two?
Two? Something. Oh, okay. Then so I don't feel bad because I clocked out at 2:30, and I had two more stores to go, three more stores to go, but one of them was like, I don't need an order. I'm like, I'm out then. So I was able to clock out at 2:30.
How many doors was that?
Huh?
How many doors was
at
that?
The store? Yeah. That liquor store you guys are doing a reset? Definitely over 30 doors, if you count the craft ones.
Oh yeah.
But you guys had what, the three single,
probably like full 12 doors on that one side.
Yeah, and then so it was a big reset. But
yeah, I think you grew over 100% there.
Definitely, definitely grew. And I saw you there yesterday. But you were what do you call it? Like I said, you were when I first met you, you were my merchandiser. And then you recently found out that I was Flat Tire Andy.
Yes, I did. And my fiance was amazed. She's like, what?
I was telling my wife, I had this coworker of mine ride with me for the day, and I mentioned to him about Knott's Berry Farm. He said how he's trying to win tickets on a radio show, and I said, well, hey, I'm Flat Tire Andy. He said, what? No shit. Yeah, so he said, I've been working with Flat Tire Andy's entire time.
I was like, dude, do you have tickets? He's like, no, I just told him no. I was
like, oh. But you just, like I said, are you trying to like move up? That's what you were shadowing me that day?
Sean has a shadow sales. I mean, that's essentially the main thing to do. So I'm thinking about it more and more, you know. Although you get kind of used to the whole relaxed kind of feeling as far as reset. But essentially that's the thing to move up, you know.
Yeah. My brother was asking me the other day. He said, so when you started, you were what? Now, I think my buddy Roger was asking, so when you started, you were what? I mean, I went straight to sales. He was like, what? You weren't part of the merchandising and all that? No, I didn't start from that. I came straight from sales, because when I was working at Walmart, the guy's like, you've had plenty of experience, so you're gonna go straight to sales. Like, all right, cool.
Yeah.
All right, cool. So let's get to know Tyrone, man. So how long you been working at the company for?
I've been there since September 2018.
Okay.
Yeah. Moved from doing ice cream sales and delivery. That was 6 years of that stuff before 2018. And then just went to a hiring event on a Saturday and got hired that day and told the ice cream boss, hey, you know,
deuces. See ya.
Yep.
Yeah.
You got 1 week, you know. So other than that, you know, it's pretty tiring. It's definitely pays the bills, you know, but it's good work. I like the adrenaline rush sometimes, but it can be tiring and relentless, you know, as far as all the demand and everything.
Well, I tripped out on yesterday how you were inside the cooler in shorts and a t-shirt. Like, what the hell, dude? Like, I was cold. That cooler, that store is one of my coldest coolers.
Well, let's just say I'm so warm-blooded, it's like I don't feel it until a little bit later, maybe an hour or two.
Yeah.
But I'm used to being in the freezers when I did ice cream. You know, Walgreens freezers have been colder than, you know, warehouse freezer that.
Right.
You get in there and there for 2 minutes and your cartilage in your ear starts getting hard, you know? It's like, eesh.
Oh, damn.
But, you know, it's part of the job, so.
Right.
No, but, let's see. I don't know.
No, I just, like I said, it's a conversation, bro. You just talk it up.
No, that's just the whole thing. I've been customer service merchandising for, 10 plus years probably?
Okay.
Driving around all of Southern California, you know. So essentially all the stores, when I got hired on down in Orange County, you know, they're like, oh, so you know all the stores. And I'm like, yeah, been there receiving and everything else like that, so I knew all my ways around. So
what about, you said you were obviously your fiance or your okay, how'd you meet her, kids?
That was on match.com.
yeah,
and the debate we have is who talked to who first. I'm like, you winked at me first. She's like, no, I didn't. I'm like, yes, you did, you know. And it's cool. We had our phone conversations, emails, all that stuff. And then one day I just up and like, let's meet up. She's like, what? I'm like, yeah. No getting ready. We're just going for a quick coffee or whatever. You know.
Just so you guys spoke for a while before meeting in person?
Yeah.
How long was that?
I want to say 2 weeks, at least maybe a month.
A month?
Yeah, or so. Something like that. You know, time I was living with my parents back at my grandparents' house, and just kind of going back and forth with work and my son and all that. So the funny thing was that I signed up for Match.com thinking I was going to pay a little trial period.
Yeah.
No, I ended up paying for the full 6 month subscription. So I'm like, well, I better put this to good use.
Right.
You know? And it just happened like that. It clicked, you know, and we talked, got pretty well acquainted over the phone and over email and all that. And what was it? Once we met up, it was just a quick talk. You know, I was like, my main concern was me keeping the conversation going, not being like a dead air, you know?
Yeah.
And the funny thing I always tell her was that you were nervous at this. She's like, no, I wasn't. I'm like, yeah, you were. You kept tapping the menu with your fingers, you know? And
you ever seen the movie Hitch?
Yeah.
That tapping was that she wanted you to make out with her, bro.
She's gonna blush on that one.
Just kidding. Sorry, I'm just joking.
No, but what is it? That we went to the BJ's down there in Cerritos.
Okay.
So I told her, let's just meet up there real quick. You know, don't go home and get ready. Just let's meet there.
And did you guys live near each other without even knowing it, or
no, she lived in Buena Park with her parent, with her mom, with her parents, and I was in Rosemead with my parents.
Oh, you know, okay.
That's where they were living at the time, taking care of my grandparents.
Right. Okay.
And we just agreed to meet up there. And funny thing on my part was that I could not for the life of me find a damn exit getting down there. I'm like,
you're nervous, bro.
Where, you know, I was nervous, I guess, but let's just say I went down the 605 and meant to get on the turnaround.
Yeah.
Or no, I missed South Street and then had to turn around and then ended up missing it again and went on to the 91 to get off over at Norwalk and everything else. And, you know, and then I missed Studebaker. Oh, my God. She's like, what are you, what's wrong with you? You don't want to come? Like, I'm like, no, I'm just confused. I haven't been down here in a long time, you know? Because I was so used to driving an ice cream truck and everything else over in Rosemead in L.A. and all the way up there. So I hadn't been down in Orange County area.
It's a trip because whenever we hit like a territory that I'm not familiar with, I tell the kids to keep quiet. I need you guys, I need to focus on the road. I need to know where I'm going. Like, we were going to, we went to Texas back in 21. I almost entered into Mexico because I wasn't paying attention to the freeways, just quick little turnaround. So I get you, man.
No, but the cool thing is, you know, for me, getting lost sometimes is helpful.
Yeah.
And you find things you probably never would have, you know?
Exactly.
So there's plenty of food places her and I have, well, I have found and mentioned to her, and we'll go back and we'll check it out, and it's, you know, it's a great place or whatever. So.
That's good. That's cool. You say you have a son?
Yeah.
Obviously not with her, right?
Yeah, right. So I have a son. He's 13 now. Shoot, that was, let's see, almost 10 years. So he was about like 3, I guess.
Well, so you and your fiance have been together for a while now, huh? Yeah,
this November, it will be 10.
Oh, nice. Okay. Yeah.
And according to her, 10 years is going to mark the day that we can finally solidify it, you know, since we're engaged and all that stuff. So she said 10 years or, you know, make sure we're out of debt. It's like, we're never going to be out of debt.
No, never. I finally came to a conclusion that's never going to happen, bro. But as long as your credit score looks good, it's all that matters, I guess. Yeah. But I heard that in 10 years from now, that even a credit score is not going to matter for shit.
But yeah, my son, he was 3, 4 at the time, maybe. And her daughter was 6 or 7, I believe.
Oh, okay. So she has a daughter?
Okay. So she's like, well, age difference as far as her, she's, I hate to say it on air like this, but she's 3 years older. You know, her daughter's 3 years older than my son, I think. And then, so we always joke around about like who's older. You know, she says she likes to point out that I'm the older one, you know, or whatever, you know, and
It's all right. I'm the oldest of all siblings in this family, bro. So don't trip. I think I beat the oldest by like 5 years, so don't trip.
You keep telling me I'm older. It's like I'm gonna start acting older. Okay, you see, you walk around with a hunch over and a cane.
There you go.
Know?
Right.
It's like, but segueing into that would be the whole stroke thing. You know, so 2020, I had a stroke in August of that year. So you kind of knew that already.
Yeah, I knew about the stroke. I just, what do you call it? I didn't know it was right. I thought it was more recent. I don't know why I thought it was something more recent, but how was that experience?
That was weird. I always explain it as the last tequila shot you take before you end up having a, you know, nature calls and you try to get off the bar stool and you just backpedal and then your body just feels like stumbling.
Right.
My whole left side gave out on me, you know. So I drove to my grocery stop, which is a Super A over there in Lincoln Heights area.
Okay.
Off of Avenue 26 or Daly or something like that. And just got into the store. Everything was fine, dandy, you know. Looked at the beer and just numb all my left side. And I'm feeling like, what the heck is going on?
Yeah.
You know, and I start trying to walk around, shake it off, all that. I end up grabbing a L cart, thinking I'm going to be able to grab some beer or whatever. Stumble out the double doors, back up into a chip rack, the rotating ones.
Yeah.
If I recall right. And just thinking like, what the hell, you know, I can't shake it off or nothing, so... Full disclosure, you know, I end up going into the restroom to wash my face or whatever. I end up being in there, you know, pretty much locked in the bathroom for probably about an hour and a half. Because I ended up blacking out.
No shit.
Yeah, I think I remember looking at my work phone. I got there at 5. I looked at the work phone and it ended up being 7:45 from what I recall.
Yeah.
And supposedly Rudy, you know, the cell soup.
Yeah. He's my supervisor right now.
Yeah. He, I guess he had called me and I supposedly was talking to him, telling him, oh, I'm fine, but I was like slurring my words. So he sent Lujan, you know, over. And I guess they found me in the restroom, you know, ended up having the ambulance come and all that. I don't recall getting carried out. And... I don't know. I think I recall having a weird dream. Like, I had talked to Rudy.
Yeah.
Like asking him if he wanted me to go to the Rite Aid next. You know, he's there just like, no, you're not doing well, you know, go home or something like that. And I just basically recall waking up the next day, talking with my fiance on the phone. But then the following 3 days after that, have no memory. So my body was still trying to jumble through everything and all the medication they probably had me on.
No shit.
Yeah, so.
And you had no sign of, you just started feeling numb. Like I thought a stroke made you like me, it like hurt, was painful.
No, I just felt numb, like that Charlie horse kind of feeling.
You get in the leg. Oh, okay. Yeah.
It just all at the left side. I just had a blockage to the right side of my brain.
So oh, it shit.
Hit the whole left side. So they were saying like, it's a good thing it was the left and the right side of the brain, not the left side of the brain, the right. My fiance's niece, she actually had a stroke as well. She was younger than me, but she had it to the whole other side. And it affected her, you know, unfortunately pretty well, where her arm doesn't work as well, you know.
Oh, man.
Her speech is kind of coming back a little bit.
Yeah.
But she's something she's got to keep working on.
Right.
So I got lucky as far as that part.
Yeah, I'm looking at you and I wouldn't even assume that you had a stroke because... Yeah. I used to work for when I first started working for this company, it was in Ventura, mm-hmm. and but back over there in Ventura, they actually had, before it was a owned by our company, they had this two guys that ran the team. Like they trained all the relief reps. They were in charge of the relief reps. The relief reps weren't assigned to an individual supervisor. They were they were assigned to this guy, and his face, part of his face was kind of like down, his lips are down,
drippy.
Yeah, and so you can tell he had a stroke. With you, I would have never even known, because that's what I'm saying. I thought it was earlier or recent, because when I met you, like I said, nothing about you says stroke. You know, because like I said, some people do get permanent damage. I guess.
Yeah. Let's just say I spent the month in the hospital. So from August 6th. When it happened on that day till September 6th, I was in the hospital. And luckily, you know.
You in the hospital for a whole month?
Yeah.
Oh, wow.
Luckily, they helped me work pretty hard at the whole walking.
Okay.
And I'll say this. Do not take walking for granted, you know. It was frustrating.
Right.
Trying to get myself aligned to. It's like you're aligning yourself like how you get your cars aligned, your wheels aligned on the car.
Yeah.
To make sure it goes straight. It's like it's harder when you're an adult trying to redo that, all that stuff that you did as a toddler, you know? So, because you think you're walking straight and you're just veering to the left or the right.
Okay.
You know, but I had to work on the whole left side. So that was the whole thing where it's like, I'm veering to the left the whole time. It's like, you know, trying to stay in that one line. And it's like, wow. It's like, how does a toddler do it?
Yeah.
You know, but yeah, it's the whole gravity and try to push yourself, you know. So my son was my main focus, you know.
Yeah, of course. Like, I mean, whenever there's you're losing hope, that you always remember. Let's talk about, I can't think of his name right now, but usually I should have been able to Google it. But this is a free conversation that I don't write. I don't script anything. Jeremy, is it Renner? The guy that played Hawkeye?
Jeremy
Renner. Well, look at homeboy. He did an interview recently. They said what kept him fighting was his daughter.
Yeah.
His daughter. He I guess his daughter was there by his side 24/7. I think she was only like 10. I think I think she was a little one. And she was by his side, and she's the one that made him fight. Because, I mean, fuck, who gets run over by a fucking snowplow and then still lives to talk about it?
Well, here he's... I don't know. It's an album where he came out with a song
for her or something. Yeah, like I think that's why, and I think that's why I heard the story about him doing it for his daughter, because of the song that he wrote.
Yeah, but it's like, well, what sucks for me is that it was during COVID.
Oh, fucking so COVID!
Dude. I can only do balcony visits. Basically, they would wheelchair me out to the balcony
and wave. I would
be waving.
That's fucked up.
They wouldn't even let me stand up because. Funny thing is that I was very. Not compliant
with
trying to get out of my bed, go use the restroom or something like that. because my left side was not fully taking the whole weight on it, they ended up putting an alarm system on my bed. So anytime I nudged towards the edge, they would come charging in the room. Don't move, don't move.
Oh, man.
I was like, oh, man. So, you know, it was just funny. Just, you know, one little movement just to try to find the charger to charge my phone.
Yeah.
And it'd go off. So they're all come charging over. I'm not moving, you know. You know,
trust me, I'm a merchandiser. I don't want to move.
Yeah, well, I mean, let's just say when I tried it the first time to get out of bed to just go.
Yeah.
Yeah, I almost like fully fell. So they're like, no, don't do that. You know, I was like, I gotta use the restroom.
Yeah. That's crazy. So pretty much once you started walking, they let you go, or you still had to?
They sent somebody like in-home nurses.
Right.
To do like physical therapy.
My wife works for a physical therapist, and she had kind of like, you live in Cerritos?
Yeah.
My wife's company might have been the therapist that went to go see you, because they cover Cerritos.
Okay.
Yeah. Might have even been her boss.
I don't know. But they'd come over, they do a little like training, like with the bouncy ball or something like that.
Yeah, yeah.
And then just take me for a quick stroll up the corner, you know, something like that. I remember it was like the second week, I think, when they had me try to just walk without the cane or the walker kind of thing. And, you know, I did it. You know,
yeah.
It's like, all right, cool. I made it like two condos over. Then did it again myself, three condos over, you know. Then I was finally doing the whole block. And so my fiance and I were doing like nighttime walks, just going around the block once. Then we do two blocks around and all that stuff. So, so that felt good, you know, just getting back to the normal walking and everything. And then, get back to work the following year. So I was 6 months out of work,
right.
You know, just recuperating, get back to work on, what was it 2022? No.
Had to be before 21 because I met you in November of 21.
Yeah. Well, it was, that was 2020, August.
So 6 months later would have been like February of 21.
Yeah. Yeah, that's right. So February 21, and then in May of 21, my knee gives out, right knee.
Shit.
And,
is it for the similar reason or?
I want to say it was just from working, you know, there's the conditions as far as knees popping and everything else. And then finally the strain of trying to focus on working on the left. So more pressure was put on the right.
Oh, gotcha.
So then, my meniscus gave out, a bucket tear, as they call it. So I like to explain it as a pizza dough that got torn in the middle when you're trying to make the pizza and you just rip right in it and it just folds over on itself.
Yeah,
so
then
you got a hole right in the middle of the pizza. I couldn't lock my legs straight. I was in the store, you know, I was bent over in a proposal position to the Pacifico beer we worship, you know, and try to get up because I felt the pressure building up and I couldn't stand fully. If I tried to stand, my leg would want to give out. So luckily I had my hand truck with me. I ended up like using it as a little skateboard to scoot out of the store to get to my car.
Yeah, yeah.
So luckily I had enough oomph to put pressure on the gas pedal to drive. But of course, it's a Saturday. No manager is answering their phone and all that. So I text them, drive to the last stop that I had.
Yeah.
Try to get out of my car. I couldn't leave it without holding on to something. So I said, all right, screw that. I am driving home. I'll see if they call me.
But, yeah, yeah.
You know, they ended up calling me, telling me to go to urgent care, go get checked out and all that. So by the time I got to urgent care, hobbled my way in and x-rays and all this stuff. Nothing really wrong. Nothing was really said until I got a MRI done. They could fully see like where the tear was and all that stuff. So there goes another 6 months about how to work, you know.
Oh, shit.
Yeah, so I didn't come back until Well, I guess it was what?
Well, then, yeah, no, because yeah. you said what you went out. Your knee gave out when? In June?
Like, no, May.
May? So May June, July, August, like October, November. Yeah?
Yeah.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Yeah, so.
May 2nd was my birthday, bro.
Yeah, well, happy birthday from that many years ago.
From that, right? Yeah, but no, yeah. Freaking, yeah, no, you must have just came right back when I took that route, because I was a new salesman when you came back in that territory.
Well, I mean, I had worked all that territory before with McDaniel on, you know.
Yeah, and, yeah.
He just threw me back into it because I knew it and all that stuff, so. But yeah, it was a whole different ball game because I basically went out before we got the whole Molson Coors thing, you know.
Yeah.
So I was only working like 30% with the Corona Modelo stuff. So when I came back and it was full portfolio, trying to
you come back to holy shit, yeah, what is this?
It's like I come back and it's like my whole strength is gone, you know, from the stroke, and then about another 6 months because I'm recuperating with the knee.
Yeah.
And come to find out, like, I cannot pull pallets the way I used to, you know?
Yeah.
I had to downstack at least 3 layers in order to fully pull it out, you know, without getting, you know, overwinded.
Yeah.
So, but yeah. But I pushed myself because, like, if I cannot do this job, where else am I going to, you know, work and all that stuff?
Exactly.
So.
And like I said, man, we do, I mean, I remember freaking anything, like, for example, work. If I can't do it or something, I, like I said, we push ourselves because we do it for our kids, we do it for our family. Like when I won the Salesman of the Year award, the manager, on his little speech that he wrote down and everything, he said, "This guy has made it crystal clear every day that he does what he does for his kids," and it's exactly what it is that I do. Yeah. Everything that I do is for our kids. You push for your kids. We push for our family. You go to work for your kid, for your family, not for your fiance and obviously her daughter now.
No, I know. It's, you know, I try to, the whole, you know, being in the hospital for the stroke and all that stuff during COVID, I felt like I lost like 2 years with the kids, you know,
it was right.
Only a month, excuse me. It was only a month, but, felt like 2 years, you know, they had grown up so quickly.
Yeah, how did from their point of view, like, have they ever expressed to you how they were feeling when you ended up in the hospital with a stroke? Like your son, your fiance?
You know what? I'd say I've asked my son and he, you know, he was scared.
Yeah.
Sorry, getting a little.
No, no, we're sorry about that, man.
Screw. He was scared and unsure what to do. So,
I'm sure he felt helpless.
Yeah.
Yeah, because I know when I ended up in the hospital with it was just nothing crazy, but I just had diverticulitis and I ended up in the hospital. The kids felt like they felt useless and they can't do anything about it. And it's like, you really can't do anything when I'm in the hospital. I mean,
yeah.
In your case is a little bit worse than mine. Mine is just like, hey, you need to stop eating fucking red meat and peanuts and all this other bullshit.
It's like, for me, it's like, why me? You know?
Yeah.
I'd been losing weight, you know, and we had a great chicken dinner the night before that she made.
Yeah.
So, I don't know, you know, just out of nowhere. So,
yeah.
I will say this, though. My fiance, girlfriend at the time, she stepped up, you know. She would
No, you're good, bud. Take your time.
Sorry, gotta clear.
Take your time, man. You want some water?
I got this here.
All right.
She would take care of my son on the weekend, even though I couldn't have him.
Oh, okay.
You know, she'd go and pick him up, bring him over, hang out with him, and
Shit. Yeah. That's awesome, dude. Yeah.
She kept everybody posted on how I was doing, you know, Facebook, all that.
Yeah. So, yeah.
You know, my family appreciated that, my friends, all that. So,
and she was just a girlfriend back then, you know, that's pretty cool, man.
So,
and X was okay with her picking up your son.
Oh yeah.
Okay. All right.
You know,
I know that,
you know, weekends are her thing. So.
Oh, okay, okay, yeah, because I know
that kind of thing.
Yeah. Gotcha, gotcha. Well, I mean, I haven't talked about it. I'll focus on me to let you kind of recuperate there.
Yeah.
I haven't spoken about it. I have thrown some hints here and there. But the wife did give me permission to talk about it if I had to. But you know, I know what it feels like to feel useless and helpless. Helpless. Because back in 21, so my wife, she doesn't have kids of her own. You know, she is a wonderful mother to the boys. Wonderful mother. And like you said, when some person that's not there, she stepped up, man. She's done things that I don't, you know, wish on my worst enemy. That, you know, from her sitting in a freaking courthouse on the stand and being a witness and giving her testimony to being freaking threatened by baby mama's friends and shit like that. I don't wish that on anybody. But my wife fucking fought through that shit. So I don't know why, what made her believe. I don't think it's in the Catholic religion that we're not supposed to believe in science. I don't understand where she got that from, but she wouldn't go to the hospital to get checked on why she's not getting pregnant, right? Won't go check. And then I think one day her mom told her, I mean, if I can carry the baby for you, I will. And my mom, and then my wife's like, but I thought we don't believe in, she asked her, I thought we don't believe in science. And she's like, I mean, to have a baby, I mean, do what you got to do. So then she started going to the doctor. She went to the doctor, and I give women props, man.
Yeah.
They get put through some shit. When they checked me to see if I was okay, all I had to do was, you know, use a little cuppy. A little cup. I actually did it twice. And they're like, nah, dude, you're solid. You're good. I mean, I think their term was even, you can repopulate the world.
Yeah.
So this is back in 2020. And I believe it was in like February of 2021 where they told us that she had cancer cells in her uterus. And the one thing I always heard was the uterus is good for two things, having kids and getting cancer. And so she had cancer cells. So, all right. So what can we do to fix this? Well, since it was just cells, they needed to put her on birth control. Because she wasn't getting her monthly cycles.
Right.
So they put her on birth control, and now she's getting her monthly cycles. But in like 2 weeks, she ended up in the ER like three times. And the one thing they were concerned was about her blood sugar. But they're like, well, what about the pain? I'm here for pain. And they're like, no, we're concerned about your blood sugar. Your blood sugar was through the roof.
Yeah, it's weird how the minor little things can do something larger.
So, you know, after the third time going to the emergency room, she was like, fuck this shit. So she researched the medication that they gave her. Well, that medication is what skyrocketed her fucking blood sugar. And that's one thing she tells me. You see, I always hated taking medication. This is why I fucking hate taking medication. And so she stopped taking the medication. But cancer free. So it was gone. So, okay. You know, they monitored her. They checked her every 6 months, and they saw something in the X-ray or the MIR, whatever it's called,
MRI.
Yeah, that guy.
Yeah,
that guy. If they saw something, they would go and you know, obviously do a different kind of checkup. And then I've seen her come home crying. I've seen her because she's in so much pain. Like they extracted something and no medication whatsoever. And I've seen women, my wife, I have more respect for women after what I've seen. So fast forward to 2023, August of 2023, they tell her again, cancer came back. And this time it came back with the vengeance. It's now a stage two. So it became from cells straight to stage. I'm sure it was still there, but it was now a stage two. So she ended up, they ended up telling her, well, we're going to have to remove your uterus. And with the stage two cancer, our biggest concern was obviously chemo.
Right.
You know, she's like, oh my God, I'm going to lose my hair. I don't want to lose my hair. She spends a lot of money on her hair, dude. Like she wanted to straighten it once, and then she straightened it, and she was like, no, I don't like it. And people give her props for her hair. And she's like, I'm going to lose my hair and everything. And she was freaking, you know, I was scared. I was scared as fuck, man. Like, we went to church. The boys and I went to church because they're in confirmation, so they have to to go. They can't miss. She didn't feel like going. I went to church, and it felt horrible, because for the past, we're talking 11 years, we go to church. My wife's there next to us.
Right.
She's not there this time. It felt horrible, dude.
It felt like the future.
It's like, is this, and that's what I asked myself, is this our fucking future? Like, this is fucked up. And it felt horrible. And then, so, you know, I was angry that day. I was also angry as, you know, praying, and I was just going off on the guy. And I was just fucking, you know, fuck this shit. How do you give such a nice person cancer? Like why is it? And not just my wife, but there's a bunch of nice people out there, celebrities that you hear of, nice, good people that always go, and you hear the term, oh, the good ones always go first. But yet you leave us with all these fucking horrible people to live forever. And yet you got people that are like, again, the nicest people alive that are freaking going first. It's bullshit. And so I was pissed off, dude. I was like just pissed. And I was talking to a coworker. He was an old supervisor of mine. He's a good dude. I was talking to him about it because he's asked, hey, how's your wife doing? Because he knew about the first time.
Right.
About the first time she had cancer. So I said, how's your wife? I'm all with stage two. And I don't understand. Fucking God does this shit. And he's like, whoa, 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 whoa. God didn't make cancer. Humans, people made cancer. The shit that we eat gives us cancers. It's not God. And I was like, and he wasn't trying to lecture, like preach to me or anything like that. Like,
as a kid, I mean, I don't remember hearing all this cancer BS,
you know,
on TV and everything else. It's like,
And you know what sucks is that, you know, we always believe that our phones hear us. Like that last 2 weeks that she, before surgery, it was like, oh, this celebrity fucking died of cancer. This celebrity is now stage 4. This celebrity this. Oh, my uncle died of this. And I'm like, oh my God. I'm hearing more and more stories about cancer that are not really what I want to see.
Right.
Right. And then, so I go to church. We go to church again the following weekend. And again, the wife does not feel like going. And again, we're there and fucking feels horrible. Mm. She's not here again. In 11 years, she's not here.
Yeah.
And it's time to pray again. And I get up and my face is in tears. Like, I'm just watering, man. Like, just my face is red and tears coming down my face and shit. And my boys are like, Dad, are you okay? Dad, are you okay? And I just grab one on each arm, hold them. And I'm looking up in the air sky and I say, he's going to fix this. He's going to fix this. He's going to fix this. And, you know, there comes surgery, December 11th of 23. And, you know, they call her in and I can't even go in there. They still have like the COVID protocols and shit. Right. And so I'm in the lobby and I'm like, well, fuck, they said that it's going to be like a couple hours before they even let her out, like before I can see her. So I went home. I think I came home, picked up the boy. No, my mother-in-law picked up the boys from school. So I came home. I just think I was just bullshitting around here. And then, I ended up going back to the hospital and I'm there. I take my boys to school. I think they had practice for band. So I take them to school and then I go back to the hospital and the doctor was like, nah, she's still going to be here for a couple hours. You can go home still.
Yeah.
I'm like, what? I just literally sat down. She goes, nah, you can go home. Or no, I think that was at 3 o'clock. I think it was at 3 o'clock because I went back at 3 o'clock and that's when she told me, nah, you can go home because they called her in at 12, I think. So 3 o'clock, they're like, nah, you can go home. She still needs to wake up. It has to be like 2 hours before she wakes up. Oh, okay. So I take off, go see my kids at my mother-in-law's house because she picked them up from school and saw the, then I told the boys, you see, they sent me home anyways. And like, okay, Dad. Because they were fighting on me the day before.
Yeah.
No, Dad, you don't have to. We want you there with Mom. We want you to stay there at the hospital with Mom. And,
it's not much you can do.
Exactly. And so I went to pick them up at my mother-in-law's house to take them back to school to tell them, see, I had no reason to be there. And they didn't need me there. So, okay, Dad, whatever. Because not only did I take it hard, my youngest son, he's more of a, he says sometimes it's as hard as cold as ice. His heart is as cold as ice because he shows no emotions. But deep down inside, it's killing him.
Yeah.
My other son, on the other hand, the older one, Nick, we were at one of his band performances at school. And on his way out off the field, he fell on one. He tripped over one of the stage props. Okay. He didn't see it, and he had this big, you know, bass 5 drum on him, and he didn't see it, so he fell. And then, and he was kind of walking it off. He gets to class. He gets to the where they have the room where they keep all the instruments. Mm-hmm. And he's kind of like holding back tears. And the moment he sees my wife, his mom, he just starts bawling, bro. He just starts crying. He's like, it has nothing to do with him falling. Mm-hmm. It's all that pain, emotions that he's been holding on to since the moment they told us she was diagnosed with stage 2 cancer. And he was just crying. He didn't care who saw him. He didn't care that all the hundred students in band watched him cry. He was just holding on to his mom. And that was a real, definitely tear jerker. Now I'm trying to hold back tears. And he, like I said, she has surgery on the 11th. I took 2 weeks off of work. She because the first week was going to be the hardest.
Yeah.
So I pretty much saw her, you know, going up and down and trying to struggle to get off the bed, get back on the bed, and to go use the restroom. I think sitting on the toilet was the most painful. That was the worst of the pain when she had to stretch out her, you know, her abdominal pain or her stomach and stuff like that, when she had to stretch out. And she was in pain. The week number two, she was able to go back to work because she was still on payments. She works from home, dude. Her office is in the room in the house. The second week, she was on pain meds, so she couldn't drive. The kids were still in school, so I would go pick them up. So, you know, she's good now and stuff like that. But, and then I think on the 20, so right before Christmas, I think they told her that she was cancer-free.
Yeah,
they were still going to check her every 6 months, but at the moment, they cut more than they removed more than what they needed to. So if the cancer was only, let's say, 1 inch of it, they took 5 inches of, oh shit, they took 5 inches of her. I just dropped my recording device. if the cancer was only like 1 inch, they took like 5 inches or whatever. But yeah, they said cancer free. And then I kind of had a heart-to-heart conversation with the wife because for a while she refused to remove her uterus. She didn't want to. Yeah. She didn't want to. The day of surgery, she was crying. The doctor's like, What's wrong? Were you okay? And she just had tears in her eyes because the one thing that was going to make her a mom,
right.
You know, not that she's not, but she wanted to be able to experience it for herself. Mm. She wanted to carry. She wanted that bond. She doesn't know what that feels like.
Yeah.
Since she was a kid, all she's ever wanted was to have a kid, you know? And now it's going to get removed.
Yeah.
You know, it's getting removed. And she was heartbroken. And so I told her, like, whatever we got to do to make sure it doesn't come back, we got to do it. Like, I had to be brutally honest with her.
Yeah.
And said, I don't give a fuck. We're not fucking with this cancer bullshit. Like, we argued before when we found out she had cancer. We got into an argument because I'm like, we're fucking with cancer now. Mm. We're not fucking with a hangnail it's fucking cancer.
Yeah, you don't want the possibility of her getting pregnant and then you got to choose between her or the baby.
Exactly. You know? And when they found it back in 2020 or 2021, they told her, you need to be on birth control. You need to, you know, she's like, but I'm trying to have a baby. And they told her, well, you're going to have more miscarriages than you will a full-on pregnancy. You'll have 10 miscarriages to one pregnancy. So, you really, and she's like, I don't want to go through that.
Yeah.
So I had to have a heart to heart with her and tell her, like, this is bullshit. Like, we're fucking with cancer now. Mm. So we got to find out what foods we can eat, what foods we should be eating. We got to do more cardio. We got to go walking, whatever it takes. And it was a hard one, man. I mean, right now I can tell that she is feeling it, man. I think her emotions are kind of like all over the place right now. It's like, I had to have a conversation with my sister-in-law. It's like, hey, she just wants her space. You guys need to learn the definition of no. Mm. If she says, you're calling her and bugging her for something and she says no, you got to respect that. She's going through, you know, she got her uterus removed. Her emotions are all over the place right now.
Don't take it personally.
Don't take it. Exactly. But it was, I mean, I wasn't in her shoes, so I don't know what she feels like, but it was pretty horrible, you know, to feel useless. You can't do nothing about it. The biggest thing was, like I said, I would go to church and I just start fucking crying. And like one day, after we found out, my buddy, my compadre, he's like a brother to me. He called me and he's asked me, hey, how's your wife? And I just started crying. I just started fucking crying, dude. Mm-hmm. And then he's like, fuck, man, it sucks. Because I said, I've only heard you cry a few times. And when you cry, it's a cry. And then a couple of days later, she, because every day, I have her on a Life 360, her and the boys. Yeah. So I know when she gets home from dropping off the kids from school. Mm-hmm. So right before she really starts to clock it and work, I'll have a conversation with her. I'll call her, hey, how you doing? How'd you sleep? How are the boys? Because the first thing is, I don't want these boys driving her crazy.
Yeah.
So, hey, the boys drive you crazy? Because there's been times where I came home from work just to spank one of them. And how are the boys? How are, you know, oh, they were good. They did their chores and they made me breakfast and blah, blah. Okay, cool. And how are you doing? Yeah, I didn't sleep well. I sleep like a rock, bro.
Yeah.
I'll knock out, man. 7:30, I'm in bed. I'm asleep.
Yeah, my girls say the same.
And she's tossing and turning or whatever the case would be. So I check up on her. And that day I checked up on her. How you doing? And I couldn't hold back my fucking tears, man. I couldn't. Mm. And I just started crying. And then, like I said, at church. And yeah, it's not about me, but it's like, because one of our cousins says, dude, it's not about you, bro. You're not the one that had cancer. Yeah. I'm like, yeah, but I'm her fucking husband, dude. I fucking love her. Like, for example, with the day that she called, like, I had gout pain one day. And if you ever had gout,
no.
That's just painful. In your foot, you can barely put any pressure. The very first time that I got a gout flare up, my wife was like, well, what's wrong? Did you hurt your foot? I don't know, babe. So she wrapped it with the band, you know, those bandages, whatever. Yeah. And within a second after she was done, get that shit off my fucking foot. What the fuck's your problem? Because that's how painful it was.
Yeah.
So.
No, I've just had plantar fasciitis for the last several months, you know.
So I've gone to, like I said, I've gone to work with gout pain. And it's horrible. You can barely walk on your foot. But I won't call out.
Yeah.
Or I won't leave early. I've tried, but it's like, nah, I can knock it. I can suck it up. The moment the wife calls me and says, babe, I need to go to the hospital. Hey, Rudy, I'm out. Deuces. Yeah. Supervisor, I'm out of here. Mm. And he's like, okay, I'll get you help. I'm like, yeah, you're going to because I'm leaving. I'm not staying.
Yeah.
And that's why I told my wife one day. It's like, you can't say I don't love you, fucker. Because the moment you call me that you need to go to the hospital, I'm off. I take off. I leave work. Yeah. Me, I'll suck it up and I'll finish my day and I'll rest the rest of it. Yeah. I'll go to the doctor if I have to after I clock out. But because you see our type of work, bro. Yeah. Like half the time, our income is what we sell in.
Mm.
The relief guys ain't. They don't get commission. They don't care about our commission.
Yeah. Well, let's just say like when I used to do the ice cream, we drove those big old style trucks.
Yeah.
With the compartments on the side.
Yeah, yeah.
And
like those Swans vans trucks.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. There's a big ass one we called Big Birth or whatever.
Yeah, yeah.
You know, no air conditioning, no nothing. You just have to stick your head into the doors on the side just to get some cool air. But I got the call from my son's mom because my son had a flare up again with the, I forget what it was called, but he had a type of seizure.
Oh, no.
Like where he gets really hot in the back, on his back, everything, and the forehead and all stuff, spiking like over 100, you know. And they ended up taking him to the hospital, ambulance and all that stuff. So I called my boss. I'm like, hey, I'm driving back to the warehouse. I got to go. My son's, you know, this and that.
Yeah.
You know, bosses are like, you can't finish. I'm like, no. You know, it's like I was in like Claremont, Ontario area. And, you know, he's sober in Rialto at the time. So they took him all the way over to, I forget what hospital it is, but it's over in like Colton area, you know?
Okay.
And, so I ended up jamming over there, you know, just see what's going on. But luckily he was okay. It's just, you know, just the body heat and all that stuff just gets to him, or it's just random.
Yeah.
So luckily he kind of outgrew that or whatever. So hasn't happened since, you know, but. Getting back to the whole emotional thing you were talking about with your son and, you know, your wife and stuff. Like, yeah. The day my fiance came to pick me up from the hospital after the stroke, it was just like crazy crying.
Yeah.
You know, I just saw her and I was like, you know, Both of us, you know.
Yeah, no, yeah. Dude, you're walking out of the fucking hospital alive, oh,
well,
man.
It's... Well, I didn't walk out yet because I had her stay so I could get my last meal from the hospital.
You actually like that food?
Surprisingly, it was good. Hey, I went from being 215 down to 174 when I left the hospital.
Oh, there you go.
You know, but I need to get back to that or close enough, you know, 205 I'll take.
Yeah.
Right now, I'm probably about 248. It was like, oh. This whole knee issue and going slower and not working at such yeah. a fast-paced, you know, mode.
Yeah, my brother, he hit me up. We've been talking more often, and he's been listening to my podcast, and he said, "Holy shit, dude! You went to the Queen Mary on your bike?" I'm like, "Yeah, a while back, but yeah." So he's like, "Well, let's go." I'm like, "What are you talking about?" He's like, "Let's go. Let's just fucking do it." I'm like, "You know, it takes weeks to prepare, right? You gotta." Ride your bike and kind of around the area here at town and to the locally here around because it, you got your butt needs to get adjusted to the seat because it will hurt. And he was like, "Nah, let's just go." I'm all right, cool. So he showed up here on last Saturday, and we left here like at 6 a.m. We got to the Queen Mary by like what 6, 8, 9? So about like 9 o'clock, maybe 8:45, and then had some breakfast and then. Like an hour later, head back up, and we ended up coming back. So it was a total of 61.6 miles, and then it was a total of 5 hours and 33 minutes on the bike.
I barely handled going with my, I guess you could say, brother-in-law, basically. Her brother-in-law and his brother and other friends and stuff, and me and my son got on our bikes, and we did the... Is it the Santa Ana Ravine that goes down?
Right here, the one right here? That's the San Gabriel Trail.
Well, the San Gabriel one. Whatever, it runs down into Cerritos, Norwalk.
Yep, all San Gabriel.
Yeah. We did that whole wash area going from one park down towards, where is it? I guess, past the wine gardens area.
Right.
You know, and, oh, man, just like, it was tiring. It's like, just going on those hills and like how much further and then I went down that ramp that goes into the actual wash area, but then you know it took a while to where we went past one bridge. I couldn't see any ramps that go up. I ended up hoofing it off the bike up that angled wall, you know,
oh shit,
and waiting for them to get back up there and all that stuff. So
yeah, no, we made it over there. We did stop like at a park to use the restroom, and then, but we haven't really talked in a long time, like really talk. It's like we don't even know each other. Yeah. And dude, the 2.5 hour conversation made the bike ride like nothing.
Yeah.
Obviously I've been there before. So I kind of gave him a heads up. Hey, up ahead, we're going to get off the trail, but cross the street to continue the trail. Mm. Oh, up ahead, we're going to go through a tunnel that if there's somebody coming in on the other end, someone's going to get hurt.
Yeah.
Stuff like that. And then up ahead, we're going to do this. Up ahead, you know, there's going to be a turn. We got to go up this bridge. So I already knew how to get there. And even on the way back, we passed this bridge that, because we ended up going, oh, there it goes again. Because I have a shorter cable. That's why. The way there, we took the San Gabriel. On the way back, we took the Rio Hondo. Yeah. So the Rio Hondo, I've only done that once and at night. Mm. And I was going towards the Queen Mary. So we passed by this bridge and I look at it. And I look back at the GPS and like, oh yeah, turn around. We got to go through here. He goes, yeah, I saw you staring at that bridge. Because I only did this bike ride at night. I didn't do it during the day. So I knew there was a bridge. So yeah, no, we hit it. I was fucking hurting, but no, we did. We did talk about trying to get healthier. He showed me, he lost like 30 pounds in like less than a month.
Yeah.
He said, I'm just changing my eating habits. I'm just, like I say, he started talking about all this other bullshit that we're not supposed to be eating and medication sucks. And he knows like a lot of stuff. He's like, I've been drinking a liquid IV and it helps me stay full. And I was like, well, drink a liquid IV. I think I lost 7 pounds in 1 week doing that liquid IV. So I was like, okay, this shit's working. But then the weekend happens. And then like yesterday at the reset, I looked at my watch and I'm like, fuck, man. And he said, and then one of the Mark said, what's up? fucking, I only went 19 days. He goes, 19 days what? From not eating pizza. I was trying not to eat pizza anymore.
Yeah.
And, but you know what? I woke because I did not, because I, so that all I ate was the pizza. Mm-hmm. I came home and sorry, babe, I'm not going to eat dinner. Mm-hmm. I woke up this morning flat. So that means that I didn't gain anything extra from that pizza. Mm-hmm. So I was, oh, fuck yeah. Okay, cool. Because if I would have eaten dinner, then, but yeah. No, it did. I drank half of that liquid IV yesterday. And come 7 o'clock, 8 o'clock, I was still not hungry. So, yeah, no, I'm going to try my best because, I mean, honestly, I don't want to. I never want to have a stroke.
Yeah.
I'm sure you don't want to have another stroke.
No.
And well,
it's just weird. It was just out of nowhere because, I mean, yeah. Like I said, I don't know, I'd gone down in weight. You know, I was like, when I joined the company, I was 230, 225.
Right.
Then I went down 215. And that's about where I was when I had the stroke. And it's like, okay, was the body telling me not to get that low? You know? but, you know, because when the knee issue happened, I was still at 215. But then because I couldn't really walk, you know, that much, because I spent basically from May to July when they actually did the surgery, getting myself to walk normal again somewhat. Like, I almost contemplated not getting the surgery because I felt good walking.
Right.
You know, but I chose to go, just get it done over with, so hopefully won't have complications. But now it's like the same tension and all that stuff that's for the right knee, I feel it on the left knee.
Oh, so you kind of feel it kind of coming?
I don't know if anything's going to come from it, but I'm just saying the body compensated. Oh, so okay.
Yeah.
You know, I guess... For my body, that's how it does. You know, I don't know how anybody else's or what, you know. But it's the whole compensation, like trying to equal things out.
Yeah.
So.
Well, it's what they say is that when you lose your eyesight, your nose gets stronger. Or yeah. Your ears get stronger. So.
Yeah, it was just like the whole thing is like when I'm at a curb, I contemplate, should I jump? You know, that, yeah. that little foot. Yeah. It's like. You know, I don't want to jump down and be like, oh, my whole leg gave out.
Yeah.
You
know. Fun, I can't get up.
Yeah. Basically, it was like, because before the surgery, I think we had gone to like Palm Springs and stayed out there or something.
Yeah.
And I was even contemplating like, oh, I want to be cool with my son and jump in the pool and cannonball it. And it was like, I don't know, you know?
Yeah.
And because my whole, you're... running, you know, like performance or the way you run.
Yeah.
Like, even for me, just even the baseball stance to hit a ball, you know?
Yeah.
Just feels off.
Well, like I said, I've said it multiple times. I fucked up by showing my son wrestling.
Uh-huh.
He always used to hate it, man. Like, not hate it, but he's like, Dad, wrestling's fake.
Yeah.
But now that he sees it as entertainment, it's entertainment.
Yeah.
He likes it. And I'm like, Dad, because this coming Saturday, next week, is the Royal Rumble.
Oh.
He does not want to go with his mom. He has a visit with his mom that day. He does not want to go. Dad, can I cancel? Dad, can I cancel? Kid, it's going to be on Peacock the next day. It's okay. Yeah, but I want to watch it live. But I messed up because now every once in a while, he'll fucking just say, Flair, chop me. He'll hit me in the chest with his hand, with his palm. And he'll go, woo! He'll hit me in the like, fucking kid, dude. So the other day, he came from behind. I don't know what the hell. And he started like grabbing me. I fell full force on my right knee.
Oh.
Just straight down. And it hurt like hell. And my wife's yelling at him, hey, what are you doing? Your dad's old. I'm like,
fuck. Yeah.
So, no, man, I get that, dude. Like, I feel like one of these days I am going to hit my knee pretty hard and it's going to be gone all because I'm, you know, but I haven't had that scare yet. So I'm still kind of like, okay, cool. But I think once that happens next time, there isn't going to be a next time, kid. Get off me, dude. Yeah. But no, I feel you, man. Even here, like for example, the old, like the guy from 5 years ago, 6 years ago, 10 years ago, would have climbed on that brick wall and bring down the Christmas decorations.
Mm.
Today, I bitched out. I used a ladder.
Yeah.
I used the ladder, man.
I know, man. Even just the things I figure I could have done, like even just a few years ago, it's like, you know, the whole standing on a pallet.
Right.
You know, lifting up 2 12-packs and just carrying it instead of just doing this, but, you know, doing this. It's like, you know, or squeezing in between to kneel down to fix that bottom shelf of the singles.
Yeah.
And it's just like, it feels like, all right, you know, John, get in there. It's like, I was like, I don't want to kneel down and do it and get, you know, fix all the freaking Modelo bottles on the bottom. It's like,
fuck all that.
You know, it's like, where's my knee sleeves?
Before we go, I have one more question for you. Where'd you go yesterday? How come we couldn't record this yesterday?
Oh. Yeah. It's because the...
Don't be shy, bro.
No, I got permission to go from the lady. I told her it's my 20-something-year-old's wish to go to one of these adult con, you know, kind of things. It was X3 Expo. So it was a little weird and nerve-wracking, but it was an experience. You know, I went with one of our other merchandisers from the company, and so we chose to say it was something on our bucket list we wanted to check off.
Right.
You know, so we went, we had fun, we took a couple pictures, we got our beer shirts from work.
Uh-huh.
I have my Modelo shirt with the black, you know, black shirt with Modelo logo on it.
Yeah.
I got a Sharpie, like a white chalk kind of pencil or marker. Yeah. So I had four of the, you know, celebrity stars, we'll call them, sign on the shirt, you know. And it was fun.
You mean adult film?
Adult film entertainer.
Entertainers. Actresses, yeah. Actors.
Yeah. But yeah, you know, it was definitely, there was a long line for one. So it would have been like way over 2 hours, and we don't know, but it's a lot of crazy stuff going on there. Like some of the ladies were on their webcam doing things, you know, and all that, you know, shaking around. And it's like, okay.
So that was more important than the podcast. I give you, I'm okay with that,
well,
bro.
Well, I had already,
no, I'm messing with you.
You know, set up the whole thing. I asked the woman, you know, I was like, is it okay? Because she had told me, I want to say maybe a year or two when I had kind of brought it up when I seen the billboards around.
Yeah.
I remember her saying that she would go with me to one and take pictures with me with the, you know, entertainers, but I kind of felt a little weird, you know, like, I told her, I don't know if you want me to go with me and see a big old smile on my face. But
you ever seen the movie Jane and the Bob Strike Back?
Jane what?
Jane and Silent Bob Strike Back.
Oh, I think I have.
There's a part of the movie where Homeboy's a little too excited, and they put a big old extra large cup in his area because it's sticking out.
Luckily, that did not happen, you know. But, I mean, they are people too, but they chose an industry to be in, you know.
Yeah. They want to be porn star films. We want to be beer salesmen. And
yeah. Well, I mean, let's just say the one thing I do not want to be was the two old guys that had a old style note portfolio book with all their celebrity entertainers that they had,
uh-huh,
pictures signed. They put them in the little plastic sleeves.
Uh-huh.
They're over there organizing them because that's their collection.
The fuck?
Gray haired white old men, you know? And I was talking with Rudy and I told him, like, that's one thing I do not want to be, you know?
I remember last year, no, so Comic-Con here in LA, 2022, I took my boys and my nephew, and we left around the time where women are starting to dress a little risque, yeah. And my nephew ends up going to his mom. After a couple of days, he's like, yeah, how was Comic-Con? They asked him, how was Comic-Con? He's like, I saw things I wasn't supposed to see. He was on at 13, yeah. I think. I saw things I wasn't supposed to see. I mean, I wasn't that bad, kid.
Yeah.
Anyways, but Tyrone, thank you for coming, bro.
Thank you.
And sharing your story, and hopefully, you know,
we'll do this again.
Give this awareness, stroke awareness to somebody.
Mm.
And for my listeners, please like and subscribe. I really don't like asking. It to me, I feel like I'm begging, but somebody told me, you really got to tell your listeners to follow on Spotify and subscribe, leave a comment, review, whatever. If you can do that, that'll be great. And Tyrone, like I end every podcast, buddy, thank you for riding with me.
No problem. Thank you.
Thank you for listening to Ride With Me, the Flat Tire Indie Podcast. You can also listen to us on iTunes, Spotify, and Podbean.